We know that households of all kinds go through stress sometimes. Sometimes it's good stress related to the adjustment of a new baby or traveling together or introducing a new puppy to the home. Sometimes households have stressful times related to illness or the end of a relationship, financial worries or job insecurity. There are so many things that can cause households to be under stress. And we humans have a tendency, when we are stressed, to engage in bad behavior. Or as we often say to our children, we make poor choices. It happens to all sorts of households and systems, in families, in the workplace, and in churches. The household of the church in Galatia was under stress when Paul wrote to them. Folks in the church there were under stress and they were engaging in bad behavior and making poor choices in how they treated one another. So Paul urges the people to be compassionate. Bear one another's burdens. Whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. We hear a similarly encouraging message in Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. Lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. God has equipped the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. And like the human body, the growth and health of the body of Christ depends on each part working properly. So the job of followers, parts of the body, is to recognize the particular gifts that God has given and use them for the development and growth of the body. Paul says the gifts Christ gave were for building up the body of Christ until all of us come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. That's about growth and development of the individuals, but also about the health of the whole body or household. God has been and continues to be extravagantly generous in giving gifts through Christ for the building up of Christ's own body and the members of it. When Paul urges the Ephesians to make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, this is not a call to feel warmly toward one another. Instead, it is a reminder to act according to their calling. The church as a household of God isn't called just to be nice to each other or to let things go like water off a duck's back. The church is called to be something different. A household of God based not on the divisions inherent in the existing social order, but on new humanity in Christ. There were for the church in churches in Ephesus and Galatia divisions inherent in the social order. There still are divisions today. The labels on the categories may be different now, and the dividing lines may have shifted some, but they're still there. Perhaps we feel those divisions more today than we have in the past. 8 months ago, Hurricane Harvey devastated coastal Texas. But something beautiful happened there. Headline after headline leading up to those awful superstorms reminded us that we as a nation were more divided than ever. Then those headlines were replaced with tales of devastation. But soon there came stories of the Cajun Navy. Men and women from the bayou, from Louisiana, they showed up with their boats. Fishing boats and John boats and airboats made their way down flooded streets, and they didn't ask. The mother with two young children stranded on her roof, who she voted for in the presidential election. They just lifted those precious ones off of the roof and into the safety of the boat and headed to dry land. It happened with the chainsaw gangs in the neighborhoods around here after Irma, and with so many in Puerto Rico after Maria. And those were glimpses of the kingdom of God, where despite any differences and perhaps because of their diversity, they were united in the cause of love and care for neighbor. The calling of the household of God is about more than getting along. It's about being the humanity that God made us into through Christ. That new humanity is united. The new humanity is in the family of faith doesn't ask where you stand on particular issues. It simply recognizes need and reaches out to help, united in Christ. Listen to how many times Paul says one when he speaks about unity. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and in all and through all. That is seven times in three verses. Unity is important. But unity doesn't come from us or our sheer will. The unity is in Christ, the head of the church, the head of the household. It is in Christ that we find our unity as the body, the family of faith, the household of God. This unity isn't about pie in the sky, let's all hold hands and sing I'd like to buy the world a Coke harmony. This unity of which Paul writes is not mere lofty language. Neither is it just a given. This unity is a goal for the community in living out its ethic. As one professor says, unity is not just something Christians passively accept or reject. It is something we choose to do. And the maintenance of unity requires every effort on the part of the baptized to create spaces of grace where diversity in life and practice is honored. Diversity here is not just a slogan or a catchphrase one could put on a church sign or a bumper sticker. It refers to the recognition, acceptance, practice, and celebration of gifts given to the community for building up the body of Christ. The true gospel produces a church, a household of God, in which miraculous unity exists with remarkable diversity. But the Galatians weren't there when Paul wrote to them. They were in crisis, under stress, making poor choices and engaging in bad behavior. They had lost the spirit of compassion. They had lost track of what it was that brought them together, what held them together despite diversity, divisions, or differences. So Paul wrote to them to try and call the church back together again, to reconcile the household of God in Galatia. Paul encourages self-giving and faithful service, gratitude and humility, rather than arrogance, hubris, and emphasis on differences. With the new spirit-given life in the Messiah, we too are the household of God, and we are united and diverse. When we are united in Christ and to each other through Christ, then bearing one another's burdens with grace is not burdensome slavery, but freedom in Christ. Our job then is to recognize the work God is doing in each other and in the world, to recognize the particular gifts that God has given us, and then to use those gifts for the growth of the health of the body, the church. One way to get better at recognizing God at work and the gifts that God has given us and others is through prayer. This helps us tune in and hear the Spirit's movement in new and different ways. Prayer and time spent with Scripture helps us have eyes to see, to recognize God's work and our call to join in that work with the gifts already so generously given. Prayer and engaging Scripture are vital for our growing more and more in Christ's ways as followers and as the household of God. In that discipline and connection with God, we may be surprised where we see God at work. Something that might have seemed like just another request heaped onto an already full plate, with ears to hear and eyes to see, may be an invitation to join God at work in the community. I miss that stuff a lot, but I do also catch glimpses pretty close by without having to go looking for heroics or extreme examples. I see it on Saturdays in the spring when a few adults and youth from St. Andrews invite the community to stop by to have their lawnmowers repaired. God is at work in the relationships formed between those fixing and learning to fix small engines. God is at work in the connections we make with our neighbors and in the real help received. And it's all just so simple. But it's an opportunity that might easily have been missed. I hear it also in the conversations that our session at this church is having as we explore what God is calling us to be and do now. When we keep hearing a call to be good neighbors to the refugees and immigrants in our community, and then we get a literal phone call opening up new opportunities to do just that, to grow as disciples and as the united and diverse household of God, that's God at work. Christ's body, the household of God, the church, is the place at the intersection of divine and human life, where sovereignty, brokenness, and communion are held together in God's grace. The church, the household of God, should be a place where we don't stop and ask who you voted for before offering help. The family of faith is one that prays together, learns together, supports one another, serves together, and values the gifts, the differences, and the diversity of its members. The household of God is one that both looks for God's Spirit at work in the world and joins in that work, making Christ's love, grace, and mercy more visible. We, the church, are the family of faith, the body of Christ, the household of God. We are gifted and called in our diversity to unite as Christ's presence in the world, making Christ's love, grace, and mercy known. And this is possible through the one who, by the power at work within us, is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or imagine. And so to God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all, forever and ever. Amen.